The introduction of new termite control techniques, it makes it very important that we understand the biology of the termites in different areas and different habitats. And to date, a lot of study has been done on termites in rural areas and around houses and such, but very little is known about the actual biology of the termite in a native, undisturbed area. And that's what this talk is about. This is what my study has been about. The basic idea is to increase the knowledge of basic ecology and biology of reticulotermes flavipes. And there's three areas that I focused on. The first was the foraging territories in different habitats. The second, to estimate the number of the foraging termites. How big is that group of foraging termites? And the last one would be to determine the caste ratios, workers to soldiers. To do this, in Oklahoma, we have a place in northern Oklahoma. You can see it up here by the... We can get up there by the X right here, and that's the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve, which is an area of 38,000 acres of undisturbed land. This is a land that was donated to them. Bison are allowed to graze on this land in certain areas, not the areas that we work in for our safety, but the bison are up there, and they allow controlled burns in certain areas to try to simulate what a natural environment is like. There's three primary areas of habitat up there. The first one is the tallgrass area. You can see the tallgrass here. The big blue stem are the large plants that you see there. And then to give you some perspective, I took a picture with a couple of the co-workers in there. And you can see it goes over 6 foot tall. Sometimes when it's in the middle of the summer, we actually can lose each other in that grass if we bend over and have, hey, where are you and everything. But it's a really beautiful area to work in. I didn't work in that area. I worked up here. This area is a cross timbers area. You can see some small trees and some brush that's in there, and they allow controlled burns in there. This picture was taken about a month after a controlled burn, and you can see there's still blackening on the trees, and you can see that there's not very much overgrowth. 2 years later, this picture was taken in 2007, you can see it's really grown up and there's a lot more brush in there. Here's another picture showing the grass and the brush mixture. The area across the road from that is the cross timbers area. That's blackjack oak, and it is now not allowed to burn. They do not do any controlled burns in there, so it gave me a chance to compare two different types of areas. It's very thick in there, blackjack oak. There's a little bit of grass on the ground where there's some sunlight that gets through, but the branches on the blackjack oaks never break off and fall down. They stay there, so we have to go in there and just break off and try to work our way in there. It makes it a little difficult to work, a lot of torn clothing, lost hats, tangled hair, and such. Here's a picture to give you an idea of how thick the trees are in there, and trying to lay out a nice plot in there can be a little difficult, especially when an auger hits a root and throws you against the tree. The method I used was the triple mark release recapture, and there's 5 steps in this. First, you capture termites. You feed them blue or red dyed paper, depending on what area you're looking at. Then you're going to release them back to the exact same trap that you originally got them from. You recapture them 2 weeks later, and then you repeat that whole process 2 more times, so a total of 3 captures and marks. First one is capture. We take a wooden sandwich, we wrap that in some corrugated bolt paper, and we place that inside a plastic PVC tube that's been put into the ground. It's 8 inches deep, it has holes into the sides, and it's open on the bottom to allow the termites to get to it. We then cap it in order to keep out rain and moisture, and also to help cut down on some predation of anything that might feed them and disturb the traps. We also use soil surface ground boards. Those are boards that are put on ground that's been scraped clean of any vegetation, grass, and such, so it's in contact with the soil surface. Put a brick on top to hold it down because we have good winds in Oklahoma, blow things around. Also, it helps it find it when the grass is grown up. Makes it a little easier for us to find those spots. Here's a layout. Now, it looks kind of complicated, but it's not as bad. The areas, the numbers represent the actual in-ground traps. The letters are the soil surface ground boards. So we have 3 meter spacing in between each like type of trap. 3 meters, 3 meters. This particular plot measures about 31.5 meters by 30 meters. And then we had to add on this little lower region down here because as the termite got closer to the periphery, we had to expand out the colony or the testing area. Here's a picture to give you an idea of what it looks like. So we have an in-ground, and then 3 meters later, an in-ground, 3 meters later. Then you can barely see a brick. There's a brick right there covering a ground board, and another one there. This is what we like to see. When we go to make a capture, we see this mudding on this thing. People are familiar with termites know this shows you got some good termite activity. When we see this on the first capture, we pull it out of the ground, then we take it back to the lab. And we don't usually try to take the trap out of the ground, but this is an idea to show you what it looks like. We take them back to the lab and we count them to get the number of termites taken, plus the cast. We count soldiers, we count workers. We differentiate that way. We feed them blue or red dyed paper, depending on where we're working at. This one has two different studies going, so I have some with blue and some with red. This was this last year. And you can see that the paper's in there, they feed on that. We allow them to feed for 2 weeks. And then what happens is we cover them up, keep them warm, moist, and dry, or not moist and dry, moist and dark, in the dark, obviously. And then, this is about a week later, you can see that we've got some pink going on right in here and here. We've got a soldier in there also. We take those back after 2 weeks, release them into the ground, exactly in the same trap we collected them, always back to where you collected them, and then we let them, you can see them piled on there, we put them on top of there. Then we're going to go back in 2 weeks later and recapture. We pulled the same trap out of the ground, we look to see if we can find any termites. If colored termites. If we find colored termites, we take it back to the lab and repeat it. And we're going to do that two more times. We also will go 6 meter periphery around the traps to see if they've spread. That's how we can see if they've moved out, and we collect those and keep going for the total of the three captures. Here's a close-up that you can see the termites. The results for the Cross Timbers burn site. I had 3 years of data on this, 2005, 6, and 7. Here's 2005. This is the first trap I collected from. Then you can see they spread all through in there. 2006 is over here. Number 70 was the first one, or 2006, and then 2007 is right there. The distance there between the farthest one on H all the way to 38 was about 17 meters. So it was a pretty good distance that they were able to disperse themselves. This is an approximation of what the colony might look like underground. It's hard to know. I mean, who knows? They're underground, but this is an idea based on where I found them of what it might look like. Three colonies, again, 2005, 6, and 7. And these yellow boxes are everywhere we found termites when we were looking for colored termites, but found no colored termites in the trap. So we know that there's termites all throughout here, but we weren't able to find any colored termites in that particular one. The estimated foraging population, I did two different ones. I did the Lincoln Index and the Weighted Means Model. Lincoln Index, you can see 112,000 in 05, 139,000 in 06, and then 59,000 in 07. Weighted Means, though, gave me about 423,000 in 05, 106 in 06, and then 212 in 07. Cast ratio was 1.86, 2.08. And then 0.53, a big departure from my other numbers I was seeing. Across in the Cross Timbers area, this is the idea of my map in there. Again, it gets a little odd looking because I had to keep expanding as we found termites. I only got 2006 and 2007 data. Here, I only had four stations that I was able to find termites. And 2007, I had six stations that I was able to find termites in. Again, an approximation of what they might look like if they're underground, but they could be in others, but that's just an idea. And then this is the only place I found other termites around those stations. It was much less, not nearly the numbers. The estimated foraging population, again, 128,000 in 2006, 28,000 in 2007. And my weighted means model, 207,000, and then 26,000 in 2007. The numbers seem to be different than they were across, and there weren't as many. It didn't seem to be as big of a termite area. Cast ratio was low, 0.96 and 0.76. So there weren't a whole lot of soldiers per 100 of workers. I did a comparison of these. Statistician helped me do this. But we did a comparison, and what we did was we did a contrast analysis with the null hypothesis that the Cross Timbers burn area, where the burns were allowed, and the area where they weren't allowed would be the same. And my p-value for the Lincoln Index was 0.054, means we're moderately confident that they are not the same, but then my p-value for the other one was 6.2805 to the negative 12th. So we're very confident that they're not the same numbers over there. Very different group. Further research opportunities would be compared to the data on the tall grass, which was done by a previous grad student, to the areas that I have done, to determine the food source. We want to know what they're eating out in the grass. I mean, there's just grass. There's no wood out there. They eat in the roots. We're not sure. We want to look at that. Compare the termites using molecular techniques, maybe some mitochondrial, to see if they're related and how they're related, and document all the termite species found in the TGPP. We used BLAST in order to find out that we had Flavipes, but we also found another species up there, so we want to see what all is up there. It's my acknowledgments, people for helping me up there. Thank you.
I have 1 minute for questions.
What kind of standard error you get for your estimate? Plus minus 10%, plus minus 50%, plus minus 100%?
My standard error, I've got to try it. I just ran the statistics before we came, and it gave me this stuff. I don't have that information with me in my mind. I got it in my papers, I'm sorry, but when I publish it, I'll have it, but I don't have that particular number in my head at this particular moment. Any other questions? Thank you.